Good evening, everybody. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I don't get the, with me training, I don't come up here to preach that often. And I'm thankful for that because it gives me time to work on things in between. But it also brings up like another unique circumstance where it's considering where we are as a church and what time of year it is. Like my last message was more about the holidays. I was reading my Bible, praying, and I was thinking about just what time of year we are in. And we have a lot of exciting things coming up. We have the spring program coming up. We have Easter, soul winning starting back on Tuesday, which is a really exciting thing. I started going in 2020 when I first started coming to this church, and it was a really good time. So if you haven't been out on Tuesdays, I'd encourage you to go. But we have a lot of things going on in this church during this time of year. And I'm sure we have service days coming up soon, probably where we're going to have to like do things around the church, do some repairs that we couldn't do over the winter. But when I was considering those things, I was led to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So a few things, though, before we go into the text. We all know that Corinthians was written by Paul, and I'm going to go into a few other things just to kind of set the stage of what 1 Corinthians really was about. So it was written by Paul. It was written about 54 to 55 AD, and of course it was written to the church of Corinth, which was a busy city in ancient Greece, a sailor in a merchant town known for its immorality. So really, when you think of Corinth, you can probably think of the United States, and we wonder, you know, how bad it is, and people used to serve the Lord, and people used to, you know, love the Lord, and really, the world in like 33 ended up crucifying the Lord, and in 55, he's having to rebuke a newly established church. So it's important to consider these things. The church was made of both Jewish and Gentile converts. And this letter was written to address various concerns inside of the church. We see in chapter 1, there's division. We have sexual immorality in chapter 5. We have lawsuits in chapter 6. We have questions about marriage and celibacy in chapter 7. Where we're looking tonight is we're looking at chapter 12. But chapter 12 through 14 is going over the abuse of spiritual gifts. And pause right here on this. I thought it was interesting that the very purpose of these spiritual gifts that we're going to be reading about, God gave for the Jews to have a sign that the Messiah has come. But really what we're going to see in chapter 12 is that those very gifts that the Lord gave to be able to attract the Jews, his people, it was used to divide. And it caused division in that church. If you go on to chapter 15, you'll see doubts about the resurrection of the dead. But we're going to focus here on chapter 12, and we're going to go ahead and read our text. We're going to start in verse 12 of chapter 12, and we're going to go through verse 17. So I'll go ahead and read this. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Let's go ahead and pray to get into this message. Lord, I ask you to just have us use the letter that you used Paul to write, to have us consider the things in this passage, Lord. I have you ask you to have us all consider what gifts we have during this, and where we are, where we fit in this body, Father. I ask you to bless this message, bless the obedience of the hearers. Ask all these in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here that Paul compares the church body to a human body. And I think it was a fair comparison. The first reason, this is like saying Jesus or Bible in a Sunday school, but the first answer is why it was a good comparison is because the Lord wrote it. We see here in chapter 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body. So we see that simile right here. So I think it's a good comparison. But for other reasons as well, other than just having it penned in here. One reason is, can I have a volunteer say, if the head's looking one way, so the head being Christ, and the body's going in a different way, the feet, what happens? Yeah, crash. So an accident. And if the eye's looking up, like if the Lord's looking up at the Father, and we keep going, what happens? We trip. And this is surely me, but if the brain, I know the brain's Christ, but go with me on this. If the brain stops working and the mouth keeps going, what happens? We put our foot in our mouth. So the human body has a lot of similarities to the church. And we're going to use this comparison throughout this message to really drive a few points. Okay, we have 3 points tonight. And I just want you to consider, it's all about the body and the church. And you'll find, if you're not on board yet, you're going to find that there's many more similarities, and you'll be able to fill in some blanks as we go. So we're going to go focus on a really small thing on the human body, and what we're going to look at is DNA. The DNA decides genetic information, which determines quite a few things, that development, growth, it decides the function of all living organisms, including us. And it carries the blueprints for the formation and maintenance of every cell, every tissue, and every organ in the body. So just like our body, so if I do like a 23andMe or an Ancestry.com thing and I submit my DNA, they're able to track like who I'm related to and a bunch of other really cool things. Aside from just putting in a massive database. But it's very important. It decides so many things. But just like we have our own DNA, so does the church. And the church body has one common DNA. Let's look at verse 12 through 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Here it is, guys. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Regardless of who you were before salvation, you've been adopted into God's family when you made that decision to put your faith in Christ. So regardless of who we were before this adoption, we all have the DNA from the Holy Spirit going through us. And that unites us through this church. So baptism is just even you identifying with Christ. So that's a prerequisite for church membership. Why? Because we're showing our allegiance, and it's a verbal and physical acknowledgement of the decisions that we made to put our faith in Him. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when we're born again, all things are become new. So that includes our DNA. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all are new. And you, my friends, are a new creature. And once again, the Holy Spirit ties us all together. And unfortunately, like myself or Doug and insert whoever else here, it didn't change our looks. So it really just knitted our hearts together. But under the hood, we're new. We have a new heart, and we should be desiring to live for the Lord. But once again, the church body has one common DNA. So the DNA that we share is the same DNA from God, and it's from the Holy Spirit and God the Father. He is also the potter shaping us, being the clay, and while we're the clay. That's Isaiah 64, verse 8. So if we're not newly saved, of course our DNA's changed. But if we're not newly saved, God's fingerprints should be all over on the outside of us, giving us new shape and shaping us all to look like who? Christ. So we should look similarly, we should talk similarly, we should act similarly, because we all should be shaped towards who Christ and what Christ is. And as we do that, just like we see the relationship triangle, as we're going to be more like Christ, we're going to be more united together. Once again, just like the pot, Christ or his fingerprints should be all over us. Our body has DNA that's from the Holy Spirit that knits all of our hearts together in this church. And just like our body has DNA that is shared throughout the body, listen, are the DNA, if I pricked my finger and gave blood, and or like they chopped off a piece of my finger, and they cut off a toe, my toe and my finger all share the same DNA, right? So they look different, they function different, but it's the same DNA in my hand that I have in my foot. So just like my hand and foot look a lot different, praise the Lord, if I had fingers as toes, like that'd be, anyways, it's really just like us. Praise the Lord that you guys don't all look like me. Praise the Lord that you have unique characteristics that brought you here. But what we're going to see in verse 14 through 23 is the Lord put you here for a reason. And while you're not going to look like myself, Pastor Cole, we're not all looking like Paul over here, there's a reason for that. And it's because we serve different functions. So here, even though our DNA is shared, we're designed to fill different roles within the same body. You'll be different. You're going to have different talents. You're going to have different struggles. You're going to have different mindsets. And in those, you're going to have different abilities and competencies. You're going to have different struggles with sin. You're going to view situations, problems, and opportunities different than me, and praise God for it. Because our differences here, unlike in many other things, so many other times when we hear about differences and other three-letter acronyms, this is really our strength here. And everyone individually has their own functions in this church, just like your foot and your hand has different functions from each other, but they're part of the same body. So because we have different functions, we have different responsibilities, but we're going to share the same purpose. So in a church, we have different internal and external responsibilities. Some examples of internal church responsibilities is going to be teaching our family and being an example to our family, being an example to this church, encouraging your fellow church members, and extending grace to us all, because we're all growing the same. But we also have different external church responsibilities too, like soul winning, Sunday school, a junior church class, cleaning the church, and the hospitality cart. But we owe it to each other in Christ to be as effective as possible. I know this might seem pretty cliche, but this is just a quick human pyramid that I have, that I found to pull it up. But it's really true. Like there's different, the new members I would assume are going on the top because they should be carrying probably the lesser of the load. But if any one of them leave, it's critical to the church. And while it's true, when there's been a Mike Warner before me, there's going to be a Mike Warner after me. It's important. There's going to be a new James. There was a James before James. And same thing with pastor. But it's important to consider that even though we say these things, that God uniquely put you in this church body. And it's important that you fill the role, the unique role, that the Lord gave you in this church. A quick note on this, too, is I just changed jobs. I'm working with Doug, and I had to train my replacement. And she had a few different people trying to train her. And one of the first people that tried to train her was like, all right, what questions do you have? And really, you don't know what questions to ask if you don't know what you're going to be doing or anything like that. And that's really true in the church. I've learned from mentors at Bible College, and I've learned from other mentors outside of Bible College, that some people just want to be asked. We're talking about different functions here in the church, and different functions that we all serve. And some people want to be asked to do something. And really, they can't really ask to do something when they don't even know all the workings. They really just have to jump in. So if you don't know what your functions are, I'd encourage you just to jump in. Just to jump in and try something. And I'm going to use my wife here. I asked permission for this. But my wife ended up helping in Sunday school and junior church. And she found out through prayer and after doing it for some time that wasn't where the Lord would have her at that moment. Now, she might go back there again. But at that moment, she was not called to be in that. But that doesn't mean the Lord didn't call her to do anything else either. She's been more active in the nursery. Why? That's where the Lord called her to be. So it's just important to just jump in and start serving. It's okay if you run into a few blocks and realize this isn't the Lord's will where he's going to have me. But the Lord's will gives, he has a function for you. It's not to just be sitting in these chairs. So, God gave you specific DNA from the Holy Spirit after salvation. And we, as a church, we share this DNA, just like our body, our hands, and our feet. But put simply, we need each other. If I am the foot and I separate from the body, I am no longer serving the purpose of that body, and I'm no longer serving the purpose of the foot, because I can't stand if I'm detached from the body. So me, being a member of this body, once I separate, if I'm at home for a prolonged period of time, if you're home because you're sick, that's important, or if you're home because, like my wife's home right now, Elijah's sick, he has like a 102 fever. So, barring that, though, it's important that we not only are in the body, but we're a function inside the body. Put simply, again, we need each other. Let's look at verse 24. I realized, if you guys can extend me a little grace here, for the second point, we're going to go ahead and look and see where this tied into Scripture, as it wasn't just me going off on a tangent here. So let's look at verse 18, and we're going to take that through 23. But now hath God set the members and every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if it were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So we see there that the Lord put us in this body uniquely to serve a purpose. There's a reason for it. And once again, we need each other. What good is it that, I would argue that a foot and a hand are equally important. Without one or the other, you're going to be facing some type of struggle. And it's the same with any one of us. I'm not the best at it. I try to get the stream up. And if I don't, I should be texting Cole and Pastor, letting them know I'm not going to be in. Because regardless whether or not I'm in church, those things need to get done still. And really, the church can still get along without Mike. But the thing is, I need to be at least able to give them a notice that I'm not going to be there. Because now the shoulder and the arm, or the shoulder and the hand, or the hand and the hand, are going to be needing to cover down for what the hip can't do, right? So anyways, put simply, we need each other. And now let's look into verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, that's division, but that the members should have the same care for one another, one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God had set some in the church first, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 is Jeremiah letting us know, that's when God's talking to Jeremiah, saying, before I knew you in the, before I was knitting you in your mother's womb. And it's important to know that before God was knitting you in your mother's womb, he knew where you were, he knew where you're going to be coming from, and he knew what he was saving you from, and he knew where he was going to be putting you. So you might just be thinking, like, I just come here because this is where, you know, my parents go, or I just come here because this is what I'm familiar with, or maybe I have my brother or sister-in-law in this church as well. It's the Lord uniquely put us in this church body. We see in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, that he knows how many hair are on our head. So if he knows how many hairs on our head, he surely knows where he put you. The ear looking more different than the foot and functioning different doesn't make the ear more or less important than the foot. Just like the way, in reality, regardless of our functions in this church, Don, Pastor, Cole, myself, none of us are more important to God than the other. Right. We're all just members of this same body. Now there's Pastor and Cole being pastor and assistant pastor. And they have a leadership over this church, but in no way are they more special to the Lord than you. Right. And it's important that we consider that just like Pastor has a function, just like Cole has a function in this church, you have a function in this church too. That's honestly, I would say, equally important, because when Pastor and Cole are preaching up here, listen, when Pastor or Cole are preaching up here, so are the ushers. The ushers are out there meeting with the people before they're coming and sitting down. When Pastor and Cole are preaching up here, so are the nursery workers. The nursery workers making sure that the kids have a safe place to go for when their parents are going to be trying to listen to God's word, and hopefully they get saved. As they're preaching, so is junior church, feeding the kids in the back, spiritually, I'm saying. So as Cole and Pastor are preaching up here, every single one of you that are filling a function are preaching with them as well. And just like when the bus ministry is out there, so is Brother Myers out there with Myers Tires, just making sure that the bus is running well and giving the kids a safe way to go to and from church. The parents are putting their trust in this church and putting the trust in that bus to get the kids here and bring them safely home. When the bus ministry is out there, so are the soul winners that go out on Saturday mornings to be able to see what kids are going to be on this bus. So is junior church. Once they come in, they have to have somebody to listen to. Listen, regardless of what's going on ministry wise, when we see the fruit of everything coming together, and that's going to be, you know, somebody at the pulpit bringing a message to the congregation, or the bus going out there to bring people in, we're all in this together, and it's important. I guess it's crucial that we all fill those responsibilities seriously. This isn't, Brother Choma was in the back one morning. I was here getting the sound booth ready, and I think Pastor was sitting by Brother Choma, or he was talking to somebody else. And he said, Mike, I wasn't talking to him. He called me over. And he was like, I'm like, yeah. And he said, didn't you work at Apple? And I said, yeah, I worked at Apple for like 5 years after I got out of the military. He said, that's pretty big company, right? At that point, they were only worth $1 trillion, not $3 trillion like they are now. And he was like, do you think they'd have a typo in a user manual or a marketing material? And I thought of that, and I thought that was a silly question. I really did. I thought that was a silly question. I said, no. And because I'm thinking, right, the iPhone's coming, they're not going to misspell iPhone, they're not going to misspell something, right? It sounds foolish. And I said, no. And he said, then why would we, I didn't do anything wrong here. He was like, then if man's company, Apple, would not have a typo or something go wrong in their marketing material, why would we ever be satisfied with something less for the Lord? Because God's work is more important than any flesh work. And it's really true. It's important to consider what we do. It's easy to seem like, to feel like we're punching a clock. Like I could think like I'm coming to filling a pulpit. But no, I'm here to try to share God's word with you. And just like when you're doing Sunday school, you're sharing God's word with kids. When you're soul winning, you're sharing the good news to people. And that's some of the most important thing. And it's important that even if we're cleaning the bathrooms, that we're filling the unique responsibilities that we have in God's church. Because this is the Lord's church. This isn't pastors. And it's important that we fill those responsibilities seriously. When one of us does not fill that responsibility, we're crippled. When we're apart from the body, we're useless. It's important to be plugged in. So it looks like we're going to wrap up a little bit early. I want to share this conclusion with you. There's many similarities between the church and a human body. God's DNA becomes infused with ours upon salvation, creating a new being. And we're identified with Christ upon baptism, and we become part of this church body. And that means we should all look a little alike. Why? Because we share the DNA. So God calls you to himself through salvation. God calls you to a church, and it's this one. God calls you to love each other, because that's the way that all men will know that we're Christians. So what I'm trying to ask you today is, are you doing what God calls you to do in this body? We're going to close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for giving us this church to be our home. And thank you for giving us your word to have us consider and meditate on those things to see if we're doing what we need to be doing for you, Lord. And just have us reconsider what we're doing for you. And that it's not just punching a clock or clicking a couple buttons on a computer, Lord. It's we're doing our best for you and for this church. Lord, I ask you to have us consider these things. Amen.